Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. We hope today's worship service and message bring you inspiration and comfort. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Friends, Jesus tells us that we can come to him and we can hand our burdens over to him, laying them at his feet, and he will receive them for us and give us rest. And when we come into a time of confession, it is a way of laying our burdens at the feet of Jesus, and the grace that we receive, that we remember in that time of confession, gives us rest, the rest of peace, knowing that we are loved and forgiven. So let us together as a congregation pray the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. O God of mercy, welcome us this day into your silence, where there are no requirements, no expectations, only heart meeting heart. O God of love, in our need, we take your forgiveness and hope in gratitude and lay down our burdens. We seek your silence, and when we find it, help us linger there with you. O God of peace, as silence sinks into our souls, help us pause in your grace, feel the comfort of your presence, and rest a while in your peace. We trust we can ask so much of you, for Jesus says we can. Friends, God made us good. God created us good. God's goodness is in all of us. And yet, we forget. We forget how much we are loved and how much God's grace and abundance comes to us with no requirements, no expectations, just God's heart through Christ meeting our hearts in Christ. So let us know with confidence that we are forgiven, that we are unconditionally loved, and that we are free to live that love without requirements, expectations, or any other thing except for God. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, his first letter, beginning in chapter 12 at verse 12 and going through verse 26. Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it." This is the challenging word of the Lord.
Our second scripture lesson, our gospel lesson today, comes from the 7th chapter of Matthew. Hear now God's word for God's people. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Now, when Jesus had finished saying these words, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I have always had somewhat of a love-hate relationship with the Presbyterian Book of Order. On the one hand, I appreciate and I even value the predictable yet flexible structure outlined in the Book of Order, and I find that having a process for how we go about our business as an individual congregation, as a presbytery, as an entire denomination is really helpful. For when we are following an agreed upon process, even in those moments when life as a church gets messy, process keeps our messes from becoming personal. And to my mind, this is a good thing. But on the other hand, there is this part of me that grows uncomfortable to the point of rebellion with the dictates and expectations and the shalls and the shoulds and the musts of the Book of Order. And because of my uncomfortableness with this book, it is surprising to me that the sermon series we begin today is based on a portion of the Book of Order, and that it was my choice to do this. I can't wait to see how it turns out. Without a doubt, the most interesting piece of the Book of Order for me is the first chapter, which is entitled The Mission of the Church. It is only 6.5 pages long, but oh, what a 6.5 pages. It packs a deep and abiding and meaningful theological punch. And because our Presbyterian approach to discipleship shapes the way that we look at, interact with, and serve the people and the world around us, I think it's wise, even faithful, for us to know something about our Presbyterian theological foundation. The chapter starts with a declaration that everything belongs to God, period. No exceptions. And that the mission of the church is determined and put forth and belongs also to God alone. Simply put, the mission of God in Christ gives shape and substance to the life and work of the church, gives shape and substance to our lives, to our work. Once God's primacy is declared, the very next Presbyterian theological building block is the person and the teachings of Jesus. Jesus, who is continually revealed to the church and to us through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is proclaimed head of the church and is known and understood to us and to the world here in this chapter of the Book of Order through five qualities and characteristics and traits. These characteristics are these. First, the church always exists under the authority of Christ. That'll be our topic for today. Two, Christ calls and equips the church for its work in the world. Third, the church comes into being only as Christ gives the church its life. Fourth, we who are the church dare to hope, dare to have hope in and for our chaotic world because Christ is the church's hope. And fifth, the church can function in the world only because Christ is the foundation of the church. Today and in the coming weeks, we will explore these five aspects of Jesus and his relationship to the church and to us, who together are the body of the church, all with a mind and heart toward grasping the connections between the theological underpinnings of Presbyterianism and Tabernacle Presbyterian Church's efforts to be a faithful and Spirit-led Church of Jesus Christ in the world here today, just about a quarter of the way into the 21st century. We will pay particular attention to the role of the Holy Spirit in helping individual congregations like TAB understand freshly and embrace imaginatively the example and teaching of Jesus for the needs of our present-day ministry context. Our Corinthians lesson begins by naming Jesus as head of the church, and the rest of us as body parts that provide some particular function in response to Jesus' call and invitation. Paul tells us that what makes it possible for each of us to function together as a body are the gifts which the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, each of the faithful. For in the one Spirit, says Paul, we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of the one Spirit. In other pastoral letters where Paul lifts up the power of the Spirit to neutralize and undo any human differences, he also adds to this list given here the categories of male and female. For God has freed the Holy Spirit to break apart and erase the divisions that we humans continually use, even create, to separate ourselves from one another. The conditions, the categories that we embrace to prioritize ourselves over others, the conditions and categories that we sadly sometimes use to declare others unworthy, irredeemable, of no account. For only when we are freed from our pretense and freed from our pride and from our endlessly repeated destructive patterns of behavior, only then and only through the power of the Holy Spirit are we able to humbly become part of the body of Christ, that part which the Spirit has designated us to be, so that we may serve each other, and so that we may serve the world as we follow Jesus. Jesus, who is alone our head, our leader, the one who guides the body that we together are as the church. Today's Matthew lesson, the parable of the wise and foolish builders, serves as the conclusion to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now, you got to remember, in Matthew's gospel, the Sermon on the Mount takes up all of chapter 5, all of chapter 6, all of chapter 7, and describes the new age, God's new age, which Jesus has come to announce. As the conclusion of this important sermon, through which Jesus declares who he is and what he is all about, the parable of the wise and foolish building highlights the urgency of the decision that all have. Will we follow Jesus or will we not? As believers today, as believers have in every time and place, as believers will continue into the future, we have to make this decision each new day, and sometimes several moments in the midst of each day. Will we follow or will we not? For by his presence and through his words, Jesus announces the imminent arrival of the kingdom of God, God's beloved community on earth. Jesus calls us to become wise builders of God's purposes and priorities, or to foolishly be something else, something less. It is important to note that Jesus' teaching does not invite us, certainly does not expect us to focus on particular doctrinal adherence. Rather, Jesus challenges us to examine and make right our behaviors as disciples toward one another and toward all others as we respond to who he is, as we respond to what and how he teaches us to be. Becoming and continuing to be wise and faithful builders of God's beloved community on earth, it is never-ending work. It is what disciples spend a lifetime doing. It is what we spend our lifetimes doing. The final two verses of our lesson and the end of this three-chapter-long sermon describe the astonishment of Jesus' audience as he finishes speaking. According to the verb used in the original Greek, their surprise is an astonishment bordering on fear, bordering on panic. Now, while the Sermon on the Mount is indeed powerful and challenging, fear-induced panic seems a bit of an overreaction to it, to me, until we realize that the crowd's astonishment is not over the content of Jesus' sermon, but has to do with the authority by which Jesus declares God's purposes for the lives of the disciples and for the lives and for the entire world. At the end of the sermon, the crowd finally understands that the preacher before them is not merely some wise, holy one, but is instead the long-awaited Messiah. It is this authority, this Messiah authority, which our Presbyterian Book of Order lifts up as one of the characteristics of Jesus as the head of the church, capital C, and the head of this particular church, little c, which we know and love and participate in as TAB. As we ponder being a church body together, and as we ponder being individual disciples, individual body parts, following a leader who guides us with authority as the Messiah, as we ponder all this weighty stuff, I think a good question for us will be, what is wise and faithful spiritual homework for us to be about in the days to come? Might we spend time in prayer, seeking guidance about the body part role we have been assigned by the Holy Spirit, and dare to ask for the strength and for the faithfulness and for the perseverance to carry out our role, even and especially when we realize that we are perhaps not the grand and important part of Christ's body that we want to be, that we aren't that grand and important part that we possibly imagine ourselves to be. We are the part which the Holy Spirit has determined we will be. Or might we consider, in a world that is reeling from so much human-induced chaos, might we consider how we should best go about embracing the wisdom to build a house, to build a church, to build a life where our foundation is built upon Jesus and guided by the Holy Spirit, so that we will not be washed away by the storms of climate change, but even more importantly, so that we will not be washed away by our inability to adapt to the changing needs of God's world and the changing needs of the body of Christ in God's world? Or may we, as a response, as spiritual homework, may we simply want to be silence, to silence ourselves for a bit, to be silent and to listen. Listen for the still small voice of love. Listen for the still small voice of grace. Listen for the still small voice of hope. The still small voice of Jesus, which the Holy Spirit carries to us every day and all the time. Our prayer can be that we are ready to hear when the still small voice speaks, and that we are able to listen as it speaks to us. Our God, who is in charge of everything, has sent us a Messiah with authority in whom we can trust. Let us listen to him, my friends, and let us be astonished. Amen. And let us respond now to God's word this day by standing and together stating some of that which we believe with our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, who is older than eternity and younger than our next breath, who is beyond describing, yet knows us all by name, who inspires faith, yet cannot be contained by religion. We believe in Jesus, flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. He came in the body to give worth to every human life. He touched the untouchable, loved the unlovable, forgave the unforgivable, and endured slander, persecution, and death, that through suffering love, God's beloved community might come on earth. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who leads us into truth and freedom, who gives good gifts to all God's children, who inspires research, enables prayer, and wills that human economics and politics should prioritize justice, care of the earth, and the healing of the nations. We celebrate the potential of the church, the life in our bodies, the yearning of our souls, and the promise of God's wholeness and peace for all people everywhere. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. If you can't join us in person, many of our beautiful worship services are live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the service times and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at this same time for Sunday with Tab.